There's an interesting thing about hearing truth. Once you stop hearing truth for a while, you start growing deaf to its instruction. You start marginalizing and becoming hardened to the insistence and the claims that it makes on your life. And it's easy to see why, because we hear so many other voices in the world telling us exactly the opposite. They're much louder and there are more of them. So unless we are constantly being exposed to the truth of Scripture, what we hear day in and day out takes over in terms of its influence.
Jim Elliot, a missionary, once said, "Why do you need a voice when you have a verse? People want to hear from God, but they give up or get distracted by the world. God gave His word to us. Do you read and obey it?" Today on The Connection, Skip Heissig points out some decisions we need to make concerning Scripture. Stay tuned after the teaching when Skip and his wife Lenya share about some helpful Bible study resources.
I love traveling and hearing people saying, "I got your app on the phone, Skip Heissig app on my Apple phone or Android, and I download going through the gospel of this or that." I had a guy recently say, "I've gone through your whole Bible twice."
Does your spiritual life seem a little bland? Learn to savor moments with Jesus with this month's Connection resource. Here's Lenya Heitzig.
Jesus will pull away from you if you are seeking Him for just stuff and not salvation. Now, does He take care of our physical needs? Yes, but let's keep the main thing the main thing.
For a suggested donation of $35 or more, you'll receive four booklets by Lenya Heitzig that give practical steps to take when you face temptation, show you how to face your trials with joy, teach you how to forgive when you don't feel like it, and instruct you on what to do when you're tempted to use your words to hurt. You'll also receive Lenya's book, Live Tastefully, an interactive 10-week Bible study that examines meals Jesus shared with a wide range of people, emphasizing hospitality and cultivating God-given spiritual and physical hunger. This resource will help strengthen your walk with Christ as you go about your daily life. Order now by calling 800-922-1888 or by visiting connectiononline.org/offers.
Now let's get into our study with Pastor Skip. Turn your Bible to Acts chapter 2.
If you want to get to know God, He gives His self-disclosure, His full revelation in His Word principally. Principally. That's why we study it. That's why we seek to apply it and understand it continually. Psalm 19, David writes about this theme. He says, "The heavens declare the glory of God. The firmament shows His handiwork. Day unto day they utter their speech. Night unto night they reveal knowledge. There is no speech nor language where their voice is not heard. Their line has gone throughout all of the earth, and their words to the end of the world." But then he says this, "The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. More to be desired than gold, more than much fine gold are these. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them your servant is warned, and in keeping them there is great reward." Here's what he's saying. You can look around your world, and you can look at the stars and the beauty of nature, and it will tell you about God. He's glorious, He's powerful, He's creative. But if you want to get to know God and His perfection, the law of the Lord is perfect. That's where you really have God set before you by His Scriptures. When I was a brand new believer, I was in a bookstore, and I'm walking by a bookshelf, and there was a title that grabbed my attention. It was the title that sold the book. It was a book by J.I. Packer called Knowing God. It's one of the best books I've ever read. I would recommend it to you. But when I took it home and cracked it open, I was disappointed. I was disappointed because the book said Knowing God, but essentially this book was a theology text, a systematic theology in layman's terms. So I'm walking away going, I'm sort of disappointed in this book. It says Knowing God is about theology. But then it struck me, I think he's onto something. I think he's absolutely right. If I want to know God, I have to know God in the means that God has disclosed Himself. And that is principally through the Scriptures. So no wonder the afternoon I gave my life to Christ, after Billy Graham led the audience in the sinner's prayer, he turned and said, "And make sure that you go to church this Sunday." The reason he wanted people to go to church on Sunday is because church, at least then, was the place where you'll get the teaching from the Bible. And to grow, you must learn. Peter said, as newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the word that you may grow thereby. So that's the first statement. That's the first decision. To grow, you must learn. Here's the second. To learn, you must hear. To learn, you must hear. Jesus said, whoever has ears to hear, let him hear. Now look at verse 42, since we're dealing with the text. It says, they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Notice the modifier to doctrine. It's not any doctrine. It's the apostles' doctrine. There were many false doctrines going around back then. There were the doctrine of the Pharisees, the legalistic doctrine. There was the doctrine of the Sadducees, very liberal doctrine. This was the apostles' doctrine. What does that mean? Simply this. The apostles preached, they spoke, they taught with their mouths to the people what the Old Testament said about what they were going through at that time. Keep in mind, they didn't have the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Acts, Romans, etc. They had the Old Testament. So the apostles' doctrine was taking the Old Testament scriptures and applying it in a New Testament setting. That was the apostles' doctrine. I want to show this to you. Go back in chapter 2, same chapter of Acts. Go back a few verses to verse 14. The setting is Peter is preaching. The Holy Spirit has come upon the church. It created a real stir because they were speaking in languages and the people were wondering what the commotion was. So Peter, verse 14, standing up with the 11, raised his voice and said, men of Judea, and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and heed my words. For these are not drunk, as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. That was the accusation. These guys sound like they're drunk. Peter's saying it's way too early for that. It's only 9 o'clock. But look at verse 16. But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass, now he's quoting Joel, it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. So what is Peter doing? Peter's quoting the Old Testament book of Joel, chapter 2, and showing them that the scripture is fulfilled. But what I want you to see is that Peter's sermon is rooted in a text of scripture. Not some kind of emotion or some kind of feeling or some kind of an opinion. It's rooted in the text of Old Testament scripture. Go down a couple verses, verse 23. Peter continues, referring to Christ, him being delivered by the determined purpose and foreknowledge of God, you have taken by lawless hands and crucified and put to death, whom God raised up, having loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be held by it. Now look at what he does. For David says concerning him. Now he's quoting Psalm 16. I foresaw the Lord always before my face. He is at my right hand. I shall not be shaken. Peter is showing them that the death of Jesus Christ and his resurrection was foretold by the scripture, and he uses the text to do it. What I'd like you to see is this. The apostolic preaching, the preaching of the apostles, was expository preaching. That is, they let the text speak for itself. They let the text speak. You see, an expository preacher believes in the power of the text more than the personality of the teacher. That's what it's rooted in. It's not like, watch this, I can go back and forth and I can make a lot of noise and whoop people's emotions up. But I believe there's power just in the text itself. And if I unleash it, that's God's power displayed to change a life. That's what they were doing. So to grow, you must learn. To learn, you must hear. The apostles were preaching. Just as God sent prophets in the Old Testament, God sent apostles in the New Testament and teachers and preachers and pastors. Ephesians chapter 4, God gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be pastors and teachers. So they preached, they spoke, and people listened, and lives were changed. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul writes, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. Again in Romans chapter 10, verse 14, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? So you see, in general, people grow by learning and they learn by hearing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. One of my favorite authors of late who wrote a good book on teaching and preaching is Dr. Al Mohler. And in the book that I'm referencing, he writes, rarely do we hear these days that a church is distinguished primarily by its preaching. When we hear people speak about their own congregations, generally they speak about something other than preaching. They might speak of a church's ministry in general. They might speak of specialized programs for senior adults or young people. They might speak of a church's music. But sometimes they speak of things more superficial. And yet rarely, rarely do you hear a church described first and foremost by the character, power, and content of its preaching. And this is because, he writes, few preachers today are true servants of the word. What I want you to see is that the apostles were true servants of the word. They spoke to the people what the word said, and they were tethered to the text of Scripture. So to grow, you must learn. To learn, you must hear. Here's the third and the final statement, decision we need to make. To hear, you must commit. To hear, you must commit. To grow, you must learn. To learn, you must hear. To hear, you must commit. Look back at verse 42. We are told, and they continued steadfastly. Stop there. They continued steadfastly. Two words are given. One word in the original Greek, proskartereo, means to persevere constantly. In other words, this isn't an activity they just sort of started with and then eventually left and went on to other things. It's not like somebody came along and said, yeah, you know, I used to go to the Apostles' Church. I used to be into the Apostles' doctrine, but I wanted something more dynamic than what Peter and John were dishing out. There's an interesting thing about hearing truth. Once you stop hearing truth for a while, you start growing deaf to its instruction. You start marginalizing and becoming hardened to the insistence and the claims that it makes on your life. And it's easy to see why, because we hear so many other voices in the world telling us exactly the opposite. They're much louder and there are more of them. So unless we are constantly being exposed to the truth of Scripture, what we hear day in and day out takes over in terms of its influence. Now, some people, when they crack open the Bible, they expect the Word of God to sort of hit them like a jolt of adrenaline. Like they're going to read a text and it's just going to kind of slap them upside the head or something. Bam, that's God's Word to me. Now, sometimes that happens. I've had jolts before. I've read a text of Scripture in my quiet time. It's like, man, I needed to hear that. That's just... But for the most part, I've discovered instead of a jolt, it's like taking vitamins. Nobody takes a vitamin and expects as soon as I put this in my mouth, I'm going to have this surge of strength and energy. The reason they're taking vitamins is they believe that over the long haul, they're going to see improved benefits, stamina, strength, etc. They're going to improve their health over time. It's a cumulative effect. And so my exhortation to you is continue in the truth. Don't stop. Keep doing it. Continue making the truth a priority. Otherwise, We fall into the category of warning, like Jesus put in Mark chapter 4. He said, the ones that were sown on the stony ground are those who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with gladness, but they have no root in themselves. And so they endure only for a while. And afterward, when tribulation or persecution arises for the word's sake, immediately they stumble. So as we just keep this up, what we're doing, just keep this up, just persevere, one foot in front of the other. Keep coming to Bible study, keep coming to church, keep reading that text. When you persevere in this, you'll find that you're able to persevere in life. So when you lose your job, or the doctor says it's cancer, or somebody leaves you in a relationship, all the things that happen in life, it won't crush you, it won't devastate you. You will resort to a promise of Scripture that holds you firm. There was a text, I knew it was in the Bible, I couldn't find it, and I finally dug this week and discovered it. It's something David said, and I wanted to find it to share with you. I found it in Psalm 56. David is writing about his enemies that are surrounding him, and he's fearing because they're saying things about him that are untrue and leveling accusations that are false and wanting to attack him and do him in. And so he writes the Psalm of Trust, and this is what he says, Psalm 56, then my enemies will turn back. This I know because God is for me. Now listen to what he writes. In God, and then he puts in parentheses, I will praise his word. In the Lord, and again, I will praise his word. In the Lord, I will trust. I find that fascinating. In the Lord, I praise his word. In God, I praise his word. What is he saying? God, you have spoken to me, and I've exposed myself to your truth, and I praise your word, because in another psalm, David said, God has revered his word even above his name. That is, when life is crashing in around you like this, you can hold fast to his promises. So make God's word your priority in times of delight as well as times of distress. When the cupboards are full, when the cupboards are bare, when there are smiles around you or frowns around you, like in David's life. It's the primary way you will hear from God. Jesus said, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. So, all of that to simply say that teaching absolutely dominated the life of the early church, and learning dominated the individual lives of the early church, so that a true church, we can say categorically, based on Scripture, a true church is one that is immersed in the study of biblical truth and does so continually. That's why we study. That's why we teach. That's why it's always open your Bibles to whatever text. Because when Paul wrote to Timothy about how to conduct himself in church, in 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15, listen to what he says. The house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. The pillar and ground of the truth. In ancient times, there were temples everywhere, dotted the landscape. And temples had a foundation and always had pillars, marble pillars. Solid marble, usually, that supported the upper structure. And the house was supported on the pillars. So the idea is that the church holds up the truth like pillars hold up a temple. They give people a foundation for life. And so that is the reason. That's the reason we set the Scripture before you, because we believe we're setting the Lord himself before you. Not that we worship the Bible. We've been accused of that, by the way. Oh yeah, Calvary Church, that's you're bibliolaters. I've been called that. What is that? Bibliolater. Well, you worship the Bible. Father, Son, and Holy Bible. I've heard that, and I think it's always a cop-out by people who don't want to read their Bibles and study their Bibles. God has given us his word that we might know him. There was a man who asked a friend of his who was a Gideon for a Bible. Do you know what a Gideon is? The Gideon Society, they put Bibles in hotel rooms, the Gideon's Bible. God bless the Gideons. Do we have any Gideons, people that work with them? Well, God bless you. All right. So thank you for that. So a friend asked his buddy who was a Gideon representative for a Gideon Bible. And he said, yeah, why do you want it? And he said, well, to be honest with you, the pages are so thin, so fine, they're perfect for rolling cigarettes. But listen, the Gideon was insightful. He goes, I'll tell you what, I'll make a deal with you. I'll give you the Gideon Bible to roll your cigarettes on one condition that before, when you rip out a page to roll your cigs, that you'll first read the page, front and back, and then have at it, smoke away. The guy said, okay, I'll do that. So he smoked his way through Matthew and Mark and Luke. It's a lot of tobacco. A lot of pages. By the time he got to John, especially that wonderful verse in chapter 3 that is also one of the most widely known verses besides "For God helps those who help themselves." It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him would not perish but everlasting life, have everlasting life." That man gave his life to Christ. The word has the effect of enlightening the eyes. The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. Perfect revelation of God. So the Bible, learn it to be mature. Hear it to be instructed. Believe it to be safe. And continue in it to be holy and healthy.
The Bible isn't just a book full of man's opinions. It is the seamless instruction manual given to us by God himself. Well, let's head into the studio with Skip and Lenya as they share some ways we can go deeper in our Bible study.
Today, you talked about the importance of us. And when I'm saying us, I guess I'm saying me, you, the listener, for us to be in God's Word, that there's no replacement for it in the life of a believer. Coming to church isn't going to do it. Listening to these radio broadcasts, what God wants is a relationship one-on-one. We're in his word.
That's so true. That's so good. You know, you just reminded me of something Jesus said in the Gospel of John. He says he turned to those Jews who believed him, and he said, if you abide in my word,
in my word abide.
You are my disciples indeed.
Good.
So if you want to be a disciple, you abide, which means you stick with it, you stick at it, you're in it all the time, you're continuing in that vein. So
something we should be reading, meditating on in our hearts day and night, obeying. I mean, it's just such a great call for us. When we stop listening to God's word, whoa. I mean, that's not no bueno, right? We become deaf to its instructions. And so I'm so grateful that, you know, Connection and you have provided so many resources for our listeners so they can get into their Bible more deeply and into their study times. Can you share about those opportunities?
I'd love to. You know, Job said, I've esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food. And I like that the scripture compares itself to food. We need a spiritual appetite to eat spiritual meals. So I want to tell you guys about free food. And it's on skipheitzig.com or connectiononline.org. Over 3,000 messages covering every book of the Bible. There's an online store if you want to get books or studies that I've written or my wife Lenny here has written. Also articles that we have written. So that's food, and it's free. And I love traveling and hearing people saying, I got your app on the phone, the Skip Heitzig app on my Apple phone or Android, and I download going through the gospel of this or that. I had a guy recently say, I've gone through your whole Bible twice.
Wow.
And I thought, what do you do for a living? Well, I'm in a truck. I'm going across country all day long.
How many times do you think I've been through the Bible with you?
A long time. A lot of
times. We've been together a long time.
It's been a good journey.
Yes. So they have this opportunity to join in these Bible studies. Hey, did you know that there's a She app? That women can start listening to the women's ministry on the She app.
Well, so how do you do that?
I think you go to the App Store and you download the She app. Yes.
Okay, so if you have an online device, for our listeners, go to the App Store on either platform, and you can take these teachings on the go with She Ministries, S-H-E, She, and then Skip Heitzig app, and we'd love to give that stuff to you. It's free food.
Our listeners are essential in helping this ministry share the gospel of Jesus Christ around the world. If you've been encouraged by Skip Heitzig's teachings, we want to ask you to consider taking the opportunity to return that blessing by supporting the ministry of The Connection. Right now, on your computer, tablet, or phone, make a one-time donation at connectiononline.org/give. Or call us at 800-922-1888.
Join us again tomorrow on The Connection, when Skip looks at how Christians shouldn't be just called out ones, but sent out ones.
Make a connection. Make a connection at the foot of the cross. Cast your burdens on His word. Make a connection.
The Connection is a presentation of Connection Communications, connecting you to God's never-changing truth in ever-changing times.